And that was Majesty by singers from Harding University.
I would like for us to begin then by a reading of Matthew chapter 7. And following that, we'll get into some specific verses and some teachings of the Bible about judgments, both good and bad. Let's look then at several things concerning this passage, because I think it's good for everyone to know about. "Judge not that you be not judged," Jesus said, Matthew 7 verse 1. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again, and rend you." If you skip down to verses 15 and 16, it says there, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles?" This whole section on judging in Matthew chapter 7 goes beyond just the first verse where Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." It is explained, especially in verse 5. It is put into practice, especially in verses 6 through 16. The explanation in verse 5 is that Jesus was condemning hypocritical judgment. The practice of verses 6 through 16 is that all people make judgments, and those judgments must be according to God's righteousness. In John chapter 7 and in verse 24, the Bible instructs us to not judge according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Many people make judgments according to the appearance of another person today. They believe that whatever it is that they observe among someone else is actually how that person is. And by observation, I don't mean that we can't know them by their fruits. Jesus just said right here in Matthew 7 that we can know them by their fruits. What I mean is that people look at another person, and based upon a single word spoken, they then act as if they're reasoning out from that and act as if this is how the person is all the time. From a single glance, they assume that, well, that's the person's disposition all the time. For example, you may walk up to somebody and they are in deep thought, and instead of greeting you with a smile, they have a scowl on their face. Well, you then go and tell everybody, well, this person, you know, he keeps a scowl on his face. Well, you don't know what he keeps. You just know that at the moment you found him, that that's what he was behaving about. Now, if you had taken the time to question him, to look into the case, you would have found out that there was a special problem there that he was thinking about. And when he looked up at you, there just happened to be a rather mean look on his face. Doesn't mean he's like that all the time. Judgments, both good and bad, are made by people constantly. It seems we're so quick to assume that which we do not know, and we're so quick then to tell other people that they cannot stand for what is good and right, even when they can know it. So it is important for us to make appropriate judgments, not to be hypocritical, and yet to understand that there is a separation between the sheep and the goats, if you will, that there is such a thing as false doctrine and false prophets which push it, and that we should go out there and examine the works of people and become, if you will, fruit inspectors. After all, it is necessary for a person to judge. judgment may be defined as follows. If you're a judge, you're one who has skill to decide on anything. You're a critic, much as if there were movie critics and you're looking to see whether a film was judged to be good or bad. Then we are critics also, and we use the Bible in order to, as a standard, take judgment upon different kinds of actions and different kinds of people, as a matter of fact. To act as a judge is done in different ways. Judges do things like passing sentence. They form opinions. They estimate things. That is, they esteem them to be good or bad or whatever. They hear and determine. They examine into things. They decide. They try matters. And in making their estimation of the matters to whether they're good or bad, then they may condemn something. They pronounce it to be wrong, censure it, sentence it, or they may praise something. People are constantly involved in judgments, whether or not you're sitting on a bench with a big black robe. You are making judgments right now. You have judged whether or not it was good for you to sit and to listen to this program, or whether you thought that it was a good thing for you to go off and do something else, in which case you don't hear me right now at all. Good judgments should be based on righteousness, the repeated teachings of God, and they should be based upon decisions that are good for the Lord's church. Bad judgments have different things in common. Number one, from Matthew chapter 7, we see that they are hypocritical. Number two, we see that they are hasty or haughty in their nature. Number three, we find that they are unfair. They are unfair judgments placed upon others because they make assumptions that you just really don't know. And there are judgments that pass sentence against other people. In other words, they assume for God and try to make up parts of God's will that really aren't revealed to us, or try to assume what will happen or will not happen in the future when God has not revealed it and the future has not yet completely played out. Sometimes people act as if they try to put themselves in the position of God because of their extreme anger. Sometimes people are hypocritical in their judgments because they do not wish to have their sins found out. Whatever the motivation may be, it is up to the true Christian to make good judgments, true judgments, and to use passages like Matthew chapter 7, John chapter 7, verse 24, and others as their guide. Once again, let us not judge according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments. Now, I've talked to you about making snap judgments, assumptions that a person is a certain way based upon a single act or word or look. And furthermore, there are different things that we can assume sometimes that end up being very much wrong, and it will do everything from cost us money to cost us our soul. Good judgments, on the other hand, are just what I mentioned before, first of all, righteous. A righteous judgment is based upon all evidence that must be considered from reliable sources. The Jews, in seeing whether or not Jesus was righteous in healing people on the Sabbath day, should have examined the Scriptures closer than they did. They should have understood Bible passages like, Micah chapter 6 and verses 6 through 8. They should have understood justice and mercy. They should have understood that the Lord will have mercy and not sacrifice. They should have understood the proper application of God's law. But because they didn't look into all the Scripture, they didn't look into all the evidence, then they unjustly condemned the righteous man, Jesus Christ. There are many ways in which we can try to avoid making unrighteous or snap judgments. These ways are clearly spelled out for us in the common sense that God gave us and in the Scriptures as well. First of all, did you see it? The Bible talks to us about people who are witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul pointed out that he could be an apostle of our Lord Jesus because he was a witness of the Lord. Sometimes people say that they want to witness to others today, but sometimes they garble their Bible terms when they do that. They haven't seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ, but they can speak of the testimony of the gospel. That is, they can speak forth the words that those eyewitnesses left for us in Matthew through Revelation. They can speak of the prophecies of the Old Testament. They can go through the Bible and, with a fine-tooth comb, to figure out just exactly what God wants us to know. And so we ask ourselves, are we a reliable witness? Or do we have reliable witnesses? Did somebody see it so that I know it's true? Have you ever been judged wrongly? Someone walks in on you at an inopportune moment, and they judge that something's going on that isn't really going on. Sometimes this may happen between those who had close friendship. and they lose a friend all because somebody wanted to assume that something bad is going on when the best of intentions were there all along. And so the friendship ends. Many times, we, without witnesses, will decide that we have judged what is in the other person's heart. Well, I didn't really see it, no, but, you know, they've always been jealous. Well, really, how do you know that they've been jealous? Did they tell you? Well, no, but you could just tell. Oh, you could just tell. Well, really, how did you tell? They didn't tell you. Well, the way that they acted. Oh, really, in what way did they act? And on it goes. Sometimes people never get down to specifics. You can tell then that they have assumed what it is that they really needed to set out and prove. They haven't been a witness to something, and nobody else was a witness to it. Oh, but they've judged already. Many times, like I said before, this destroys friendships, and snap judgments, judgments that are not based upon good, solid evidence of those who witness it, but instead is simply based upon the appearance or something else, well, these are very destructive. And for somebody who holds a matter against someone without good evidence, well, that person's going to have to meet God in the day of judgment about it. What do you think of the Jews that accused Jesus of violating the Sabbath day and doing all kinds of bad things, as you read about around there in John chapter 7? What do you think is going to happen to those kinds of people? Well, they'll have to meet God at judgment, people say about that. Everybody knows that several of those Jews had some very bad motivations when it comes to the scribes and Pharisees and lawyers and so forth. All right, well, I admit that entirely, but we will come under the very same condemnation, the very same judgment. If their judgment was hasty, then they will meet God about that, and if our judgment is hasty, then we'll meet God about it as well. The standard is the same. How many witnesses are there? What did they see? Are there any other possibilities? Maybe somebody was mistaken. When you really investigate matters, then the truth comes out. Truth will always out. And after a while, you can come to the proper decision. Now, you must come to a decision. You can't say, well, I need to just remain in indecision and never decide on anything if that's the way it's going to be. Well, Matthew chapter 7 deals with that, doesn't it? Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Well, you certainly are going to have a hard time with that if you don't make any judgments. Beware of false prophets. Well, I don't know who a false prophet is if I don't make any judgments. You shall know them by their fruits. Well, I can't know anything by its fruits if I make no judgments. Certainly we are to make righteous judgment, as Jesus told us to in John 7, verse 24. We are to make judgments within the Lord's church, Ephesians 5 and verse 11. We are to make judgments that are for the well-being of our brothers and sisters in Christ and of all those around us, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We are to make judgments with our own personal knowledge of judgment to come upon us at the great judgment day in the return of our Lord, also as you read continuing in Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He that sows unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows unto the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In order to reap everlasting life, we must understand the terribleness of sin, identify it, judge that it is something that is in our lives or somebody else's lives. If it's in our life, get rid of it immediately. If it's in somebody else's life, figure out in gentleness how that we might help them to remove it from theirs as well. Jesus said, if you have a hypocritical judgment, it's like you having a beam in your own eye and you're telling your brother, well, let me help you. You've got a little speck in your own. You woke up there a little early and you haven't wiped the sleep out of your eyes yet. But we instead find that Jesus says, if you'll get the beam out of your own eye, then in the last part of verse 5, what did Jesus say? Then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. I want to help my brother. I want to cast the mote out of his eye. I want to assist him and bring him back to the way of the Lord. Once again, Galatians chapter 6. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest thyself also be tempted. Well, how do I do that, Lord? Well, you get, first of all, to helping people and to helping yourself when you arm yourself with the Scriptures. I know that the reliable witness of God instructs me in the Scriptures and everything that is good and righteous. I know, without having to consult anyone else, that when the Bible says that this is good or this is to be believed or whatever, that that's the way it ought to be, because the Bible is itself a reliable witness. If we read then in the pages of the Scripture, the gospel plan of salvation, It doesn't require me to go off and climb some mountain and talk to some wise man on top of it, and I don't have to consult anybody else about it. I know it's true. And when the Bible says that I'm to believe, and I'm to repent of my sin, and I'm to be baptized for forgiveness of sins, then I believe it, because this is a judgment that is righteous. It is a judgment that is good. Decisions must be made, and decisions regarding salvation are certainly the most important ones of all. But every day people make decisions of ethics. People make decisions about who they're going to have for good friends, about who they're going to touch in their lives today. And I want to ask you, are you planning on spending the whole day today without meeting a single soul? Are you going to stay away from just every single person and not let anything else touch you at all? You know that you're going to meet many different people. You know that you're going to affect their lives. And what they say about you when your life is over, and what ultimately the Lord says about you on Judgment Day, will be a function of the good or bad decisions that you've made here, the good or bad judgments. Now let's consider the subject of judgment from the Scripture a little bit more. In the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 17, now here we have an interesting passage because it reflects upon a forgiving attitude. And this is always necessary when you approach the subject of judgment. Remember once more in Galatians 6, he had said, in a spirit of gentleness, we are to restore those who are caught up in some kind of sin, considering ourselves lest we also be tempted. Now in verses 3 and 4 in Luke chapter 17, it says that if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Now let's look at that in a deeper way. If your brother trespass against thee, that means somebody sins against you, then rebuke him. Well, there is no rebuke or confrontation unless you know your facts. Otherwise, you're just asking for trouble. You come on into an argument and you don't really have the facts to back you up, and it's like a lawyer being unprepared for his court case. It's like somebody who, approaches anything and you don't really have any reasons to supply there. You just feel real emotional about it. Well, that's not going to help you at all. You're going to lose the argument. And you're going to have to pay the fine or whatever it takes. I can remember that when I was a child, different things would happen which I wanted to get out of. Whether I was assigned something to work on or I was given some sort of special work because I was bad at school or something like that. And if I tried to get out of it by making up that I really, wasn't that bad at school, there's no reason why I should have to do this extra assignment or something like that, then even though my parents might initially believe me, I knew better, and my conscience would hurt. And our conscience not only will hurt when we make bad judgments, but also when we need to say something to somebody else, to rebuke them, then it's going to be hard for us because we'll know that we ourselves aren't good and righteous people. And when you try to speak to somebody else, you'll think, oh, no, I better not say anything to them. There's no way I can help them out of their problems. I've got my own. Well, we need to come to grips with that. When Jesus spake these words in Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. People today say nobody is without sin, so you have no business trying to straighten out anybody else's life. But Jesus said straighten out other people's lives. Rebuke him. He had the Apostle Paul instruct us about doing that, to do it in a spirit of gentleness. Well, how do I go about doing it if I myself have sin? What you make sure is that you don't have sin in that same area of life. Then it becomes a hypocritical judgment, the kind that Jesus was condemning in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Thou hypocrite! But if your judgment is based upon good facts, if you really do know where you're coming from, and you yourself have either put off that sin that you used to commit and you're no longer doing what this fella is over here that, has just sinned, or if you can say that, well, I've never been involved in that kind of sin, it wasn't a temptation to me, but maybe I can help this other person out of it because I know it's wrong from God's Word, then it's appropriate for you to help them. So first thing is to clean our own house. Make sure that we're not being a hypocrite about that matter. And the second thing is to make sure that we can and do help other people. You're never going to be perfect. But let's say that I've had a problem because I lied to somebody, a week, a month, a year ago, whatever you want to say. And another fellow comes along over here and he's got a drinking problem. Well, can I not say anything to him to help him out with that drinking problem? just because I happened to lie in the past. You've repented of the lying, right? If not, then yes, you need to take care of that. You need to be right with God. But, you know, you're right with God. You know that you've obeyed the gospel, and you don't want to be wrong about anything. And here's a fellow that you see that you can help. Are you allowed to help him? Well, certainly you're allowed to help him. Now, what does that have to do with Luke 17? Luke 17 says the sin may be against you. In other words, if thy brother trespass against thee. Well, what if the sin is against me? Somebody else offends me. Somebody else hurts me in some way. Well, I need to let them know about that, because we don't need bad blood. We don't need all kinds of ill thoughts and repressed anger against our neighbor or brother in Christ. So we rebuke him. And if he repents, the Bible says, forgive him. Repentance is absolutely necessary. He'll meet God unprepared at the day of judgment if we don't say something to him. That's a good possibility, and you know it. Well, you say, well, maybe he'll come to senses all by himself. Maybe he'll just figure it all out, and he'll repent before God before the Lord calls him away, or his life on here is over. Well, that is just not fulfilling what God wants us to do. Righteous judgment, unhypocritical judgment, is a good judgment if it desires the best for other people. It comes out of true love for them. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. True love constrains us to help our neighbor. And if you're going to help somebody out of sin, then that means you better get busy rebuking them if they do something against you, and you better get busy assisting them in some way, especially if they're your brother or sister in Christ, to help them to cause the church to be stronger instead of tearing it down. Each one of us has a great obligation laid upon us to not look just to our own things, but also the things of others, to not be selfish about the gospel or about love, but to spread it around. This requires good judgment. It says in Luke chapter 17, if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I would like for us to expand that a little bit and apply it to our spirit of evangelism. Sometimes people get very jaded about that, and they say, oh, well, people don't want the truth anymore. They don't want the gospel. Why, we have all kinds of disagreements right here in Monroe County about what to do to be saved and things like that, much less trying to spread it out to other people. Why, we just might as well just hold to the truth and just keep on with what we're doing and just let it go with that. Don't get too excited about anybody else getting it. But this spirit of apathy goes directly against what the Lord has taught us to be like. We are to help somebody, especially when they sin against us, according to Luke 17. We are to help somebody in general anyway, according to Galatians chapter 6. And we can do that without being hypocritical, Matthew chapter 7. Now, there are some judgments we're going to have to make. I've tried to help somebody. It's a neighbor of mine in the past, and they won't listen to the gospel. Well, there's a lot of people out there. Maybe somebody else will. Matthew 7, verse 6. I've talked to people, and you say, well, they believe some strange doctrines, and they push it, and they just won't let it go. Well, all right then, they're a false teacher. Well, let it go too. In other words, spend your efforts on somebody else that's more productive, but let them know where you stand. Let them know where the gospel truth is. You can make that judgment, so go to it. A spirit of self-righteousness is not going to help here. In other words, if you're just a fault finder in other people without really having true spiritual qualities of a Christian about yourself, if you're like the Pharisee of Luke chapter 18 in verses 10 through 14, and you say, oh, well, you know, I'm not a sinner, I'm good, I don't do this, I don't do that, ooh, I'm smart, I'm so forth. Well, none of that's going to help you in life, especially it's not going to help you win any other soul for Christ. You're going to have to do all this in a humble attitude. But if somebody else will not listen to the gospel, what do? You take it to someone who will. There are about 6 billion people or so, we're told, living upon this earth. You know, there's a lot of people out there we could become friends with, a lot of people that we can help with the truth of Jesus Christ. And I am constantly reminded of the opportunities for evangelism that abound all around us. And that's just not overseas somewhere in a foreign country where we send our money and say, yeah, spread the gospel over there, do those people some good. But it happens among us and around us all the time. You might be surprised how many people have formed their ideas about what the Bible says based upon little bitty snippets of conversations and little bitty statements made that they got from some TV or television broadcast or radio broadcast somewhere, and they don't actually understand the Scriptures at all. They've never seen the true story of Jesus Christ or understood our Lord the way they need to from the Bible. Therefore, it's up to us to bring that story to them, to help them out in the very best way that we can. With the spirit of evangelism, we can serve our fellow man, and we can help ourselves as well. If you consider the Scriptures, the verses in it that explain to us the need for evangelism, well, they're all over the place. And if you just ignore them, then you're ignoring love. If you love your neighbor, you're going to help them out. Oh, but I can't judge anybody. I don't want to say anything, you say. Jesus was condemning hypocritical judgment. He wasn't condemning somebody who tries to help other people. And that's really the main point of what I've brought you this morning. I would like to leave you with a statement that the Apostle Paul made to his disciple Timothy as he was instructing him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul had been working with Timothy in ministry for years, and he was about to leave this life. And what was he going to leave Timothy with? A statement about how to help people. A statement for evangelism, to work with others and to do whatever Timothy could to cause them to be won over for Jesus Christ. So Paul leaves him with these words. He says, "The things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." God calls us to be just that, teachers, good people who know what we believe and who follow the way of Jesus Christ and instruct others in that way. Never be frightened into thinking that you cannot make a good and righteous judgment. Make them and help other people because of the love you have for them. Be evangelistic like Paul told Timothy to be. Did Paul tell Timothy, "You know, now that you've learned some things about Jesus, you know that nothing would ever be said from your mouth that others would be offended by, and you should never do anything to act as if other people might be in the wrong"? That's not what Paul said. He said to take the things that you have heard and to go out there and teach others also. This is the fulfillment of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. Go out there and spread that gospel. To do so, you will make righteous judgments. To do so, you must get the Bible, study upon it daily, and go out there and serve the Lord faithfully today. Now, one of the best things that you can do is begin by a good Christian example. Are you going to church this morning? If not, I don't know why. I know, and it is a statement from God, not my own, that it's good for you to go to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Now, you can read that for yourself. But I know that's a righteous judgment because it comes from God Himself. If you're going to church this morning, is it to a place that worships God in spirit and in truth? I know we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. Not my judgment, not Tim McHenry's. But I am passing on that judgment from God because it's in His Word, and I know it to be true. Well, if I say to you this morning that when you go to church, you should make sure that you don't leave those doors until you're a Christian, that you should believe on Jesus Christ as God's Son, and repenting of your sin, you should confess your faith in Christ and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, who has told us that? Jesus has. That's why I'm so confident about telling you about it now. That's why I tell you about this spreading of the gospel that must go out into all the world from our lips. It must teach people exactly that believing on Jesus Christ, we must repent of all of our sins, confessing our faith in Him, be baptized for forgiveness of sins. Just as the Apostle Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, some people don't like that, and they say, "Well, I don't believe the way Tim preaches." Well, I got news for you. That judgment doesn't come from Tim. That judgment comes from God. And I have full confidence in passing that on to you. It is a righteous judgment, because the Lord is the true and faithful witness. It is the will of God, because it is based upon Bible, book, chapter, and verse. And it's up to all of us to accept these judgments of God. And it's up to true Christians to pass them on in their lives. Live a good Christian example by showing people what it means to be one. Go to church this morning. Worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, accept only good teaching out of the Bible, and be saved according to the New Testament examples and the instructions of the Bible on the gospel plan of salvation. If we can assist you at all at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ, then we want you to keep on listening, and to write to us and listen in on this broadcast, 8:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. And we hope that there is some way together that we can serve God and all end up in heaven together. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We encourage you then to keep on studying and to follow the way of God always. I hope that you've enjoyed our study this morning on judgment and that you'll come back and listen to the broadcast again next week. I'm Tim McHenry.